Today we are very fortunate. Today's class is given by His Grace Advaita Chandra Prabhu. The topic's glories of Ganganarayan Chakravarti. Prabhuji, please take over this class. Thank you for your association, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato jayamudiraye nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavat sevaya bhagavati ruttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki krishnaya vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare 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 Krishna, thank you very much for this opportunity to share the glories of the previous Acharyas with all of you. Today we are going to speak on Sri Ganganarayan Chakravarti. He was a disciple of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. And Srila Narottam Das Thakur was the disciple of Srila Loknath Goswami, who was one of the many Goswamis in Vrindavan at the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the Shiksha Guru of Narottam Das Thakur was Srila Jiva Goswami. Ganganarayan Chakravarti, if we see in the chronology, his son was Krishna, Sri Krishna Charana, and the disciple of Sri Krishna Charana was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who is one of the foremost philosophers in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Srila Prabhupada, in his purports, many times he has referred to the purports of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In fact, he said that the inspiration for him to come to the West was confirmed when he read the purports of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, especially of the verse in the second chapter of the Gita where Krishna says that Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Ekeha Kuru Nandana, that a devotee must have a single pointed attention and focus. And in purport to that, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wrote that in order to get this Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, one needs to take the order of the Guru as one's life and soul. That is the sentence which when Srila Prabhupada read, he kept reading again and again and again. This is what my Guru Maharaj said. My Guru Maharaj wants me to go to the West and preach in the English language, and I should become Vyavasayatmika Buddhi and take his order as my life and soul. So Srila Prabhupada writes that this is one of the inspirations for him to come to the West. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Param Guru was Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. So we'll speak about Sri Ganga Narayan Chakravarti in a few minutes. Before that, we'll offer our obeisances to the previous acharyas. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Ganga Narayan Chakravarti was a renowned disciple of Sri Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur was instructed by Srila Jiva Goswami, along with Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Pandit, and Srinivas Acharya. These three Shiksha godbrothers of each other and Shiksha disciples of Srila Jiva Goswami, they were instructed, go and spread, distribute these books of the previous acharyas and spread this knowledge. And those books that they were taking from Vrindavan to Bengal to distribute on the way and all over Bengal, they were written with hand on palm leaves. At that time there were no printing presses, there was no way if you had to make a copy, there were people who would actually be professional writers and they would actually copy the entire book again and again. So there were not so many copies of those books, but those books were taken in a trunk and they were taken all the way to Bengal. And of course, in between, the treasure house of that trunk of books was lost, and then eventually it was found again. And the way it was found by the king of that particular area, he arranged for those books to be distributed in every nook and corner of Bengal. And this way, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, his glories, he initiated the king, King Bhirambhir. And because of that, his name and fame spread wide. And Narottam Das Thakur, he did not like that. He was not attached to his name and fame. He was attached to Krishna's holy name. He wanted Krishna's holy name to be chanted everywhere. So he left that place, kingdom of King Bhirambhir, and went to other places and other villages, preaching and spreading the glories of Lord Chaitanya, the glories of the holy name of Harinam Sankirtan. And so many of the devotees, so many of the villagers, they became devotees. If Narottam Das Thakur wanted, he could just stay very comfortably as the Rajguru, the royal spiritual master of the kingdom. But he chose to leave that and spread the glories. When he was doing that, he told everyone the glories of the holy names, that by chanting the holy name, one can eradicate so many sins and one's consciousness raises to the extent that even a Shudra, even person born in the family of a Shudra, even the person having the qualities of a Shudra can transcend them and become a Brahmana. And then he would give those Shudras and Vaishyas and everyone Brahmin initiation. Because he said, this is the glory of the holy name. This is the best way to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, he quotes Srila Jiva Goswami, and he says, Srila Jiva Goswami said, all other limbs of bhakti should be preceded and followed by chanting of the holy names. We have the 9 processes of bhakti, right? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. These 9 limbs of bhakti, these 9 processes of bhakti, all of them are considered to be equally potent. To just one or more, if we perform it, we can go back home, back to Godhead. And there are examples of devotees who have performed over the ages all these 9 different limbs of devotional service, and they have attained perfection. Srila Shukadev Goswami, he attained perfection just by kirtanam, just by speaking about Krishna. Maharaj Parikshit attained perfection just by shravanam, just by hearing patiently, attentively, and eagerly. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Prahlad Maharaj, he attained perfection just by remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he was being given trials and tribulations, he simply remembered the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Narsingadev appeared to deliver him, just to protect him, just to protect his devotion. Narsingadev appeared not specifically to protect Prahlad, his body, but actually his devotion. Because the body will die anyways, will be destroyed anyways. The Lord doesn't have to come to protect the body, although he does protect the body of the devotees. But he specifically appeared to protect the devotion of Prahlad when it was challenged by Hiranyakashipu. Is God in this pillar? Prahlad said, yes. And then he broke the pillar, and just to keep the word of Prahlad Maharaj, Narsingadev roared and appeared. Simply because Prahlad Maharaj perfected his life by remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless we do Shravanam and Kirtanam, we cannot perform Smaranam properly. We cannot remember Krishna properly. What we are talking about Smaranam, people say, well, I can remember the Lord. I remember all the pastimes of the Lord. I can memorize them. I can remember them. But that is not Smaranam, my dear sir. Smaranam means spontaneous remembrance. If we don't have that spontaneous remembrance, what we would do is just something artificial. We'll close our eyes, remember the lotus feet of the Lord, Smaranam, meditate on his lotus feet, and then take his darshan, go up, and look at his pitambar dhoti, and suddenly we'll remember, oh, my dhoti, I have not washed my dhoti. Where did I keep my dhoti? I need to prepare for my dhoti. And so many things like that, we'll just get totally distracted in our smaranam, because it's not spontaneous, it's forced. When we perform shravanam and kirtanam properly, then it becomes a spontaneous smaranam, spontaneous remembrance. Through the chanting of the holy names, it infuses the remembrance of the Lord, not artificially. Especially in Kali Yuga, Jiva Goswami is saying, all these other limbs, like we said, smaranam, Pada Sevanam Lakshmi Devi. She perfected her life by Pada Sevanam. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam. Archanam Vandanam Dasyam. Archanam, performing Archana. Is Prithu Maharaj. He actually attained perfection by Archanam. He's the Acharya for Archanam. Vandanam, remember, Vandanam is prayers. Akrura, he attained perfection by Vandanam. Dasyam, Hanuman, Hanumanji perfected himself by Dasyam. Sakyam, Arjuna, he perfected just by being a true friend and revealing his heart and mind to Krishna. That's what true friends are for, where we can, without any judgment, reveal our hearts and minds. That's what we can do with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just go bare our heart open to them, to Him, and say, this is who I am. Please help me. Please help me elevate my consciousness. Sakyam Atmanivedanam, Bali Maharaj, he completely surrendered all his belongings, all the universes, and ultimately himself by offering his head to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamandev. So there are all these nine limbs of bhakti. Each of the limbs, if we perform any one of them, we have examples of devotees who are perfected by their lives by doing that. However, in Kali Yuga, Jiva Goswami says, if we are performing any of the other limbs other than chanting, other than kirtanam, we can do that. But it needs to be preceded and followed by chanting. If we have to perform smaranam, then we chant first, and then after smaranam, we chant again. If we have to hear shravanam, we chant first, then, like even here, when we are speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, we first chant the Hare Krishna mantra and chant the prayers. And then we speak. And in the end, there is also kirtan. Archanam, Vandanam, if we are doing aarti, it needs to be preceded and followed by kirtan. So kirtan, talau tad hari kirtanat. In Kali Yuga, Hari Kirtan is the prescribed method. And Narottam Das Thakur was spreading the glories of the holy names. He said, this is the best way to please the Lord, just by chanting His holy names. And people may say, well, what's so special about chanting? I mean, I feel that if I perform aarti, I feel more meditated on the Lord, or if I hear about the Lord, then I feel there is more meditation. If I just perform some service, just some devotional service at the temple, that makes me more focused. But chanting, can I just do away with chanting and just do some service? No, not in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, when we perform service, we have to chant the holy names before that and after that. But what really pleases the Lord is the chanting of His holy names. And Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, the natural psychology of every individual is also in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he says, if someone chants our name, we become very happy. Just imagine, there is someone who is chanting your name again and again, again and again. There'd be a smile on our face. And imagine if a lot of people are coming and chanting on a soccer field when our children are playing soccer. The parents go and they cheer for the child and everyone is chanting their name. Why are they chanting the child's name? to encourage him, to make him happy. That infuses some enthusiasm that people are supporting me. They are there for me. They love me. And that gives a moral support by which the child can excel. So this is a natural psychology. The same psychology is also there in the Supreme, mm-hmm. is what Srila Prabhupada says. So if we chant his name, he becomes very pleased, saying, who is chanting my name? Let me see, let me come. And then we have to be attentive to receive him. Therefore, chanting is the best service. It is also the best service because offenses in other limbs can be eradicated by chanting. If we perform some seva aparad during service, if we perform some aparad, how do we eradicate it? By chanting. If we perform some dham aparad, how do we eradicate it? By chanting. In any of the other limbs of services, of devotional service, if we perform offenses, to eradicate them, we have to take shelter of the chanting of the holy names. And if we perform offenses against chanting, guess what? We still have to chant in order to eradicate the offenses against chanting. So chanting of the holy names is the supreme most process to please Krishna and to achieve liberation. Prabhupada, he wrote a letter to Jayaprataka Swami, and he said in that letter, chanting helps to solve doubt in philosophy. Even if we say, well, you know, chanting, okay, I'll come to chanting after I'm convinced about this process. I'll start chanting when I'm completely convinced. Okay? If you want to be convinced in philosophy, you need to chant, my dear. Just by reading philosophy, we'll just become armchair philosophers. But our doubts will not go away. There are so many people in the universities who are studying theology, who are studying religion. Have they become devotees? No. They still have doubts. In fact, they do not believe what is written in the religious scriptures. In fact, they study the religious scriptures to prove them wrong. They do not have faith. That faith cannot be developed but just by reading. Along with reading, we must chant. Then from within, Krishna removes all the doubts when he's pleased. That is the true process. If we stop chanting, our deity services, our devotional service will just seem very mundane. In fact, we'll start seeing them as burden. What is this? I have to go in the morning for all this deity service. And who's the deity anyways? Slowly, slowly we'll start seeing, if we stop chanting and we stop reading Prabhupada's books, slowly this is what's going to happen. We'll find our service as a burden and we'll not be able to see the deity as a person. We'll just see the deity as just mud or stone or something. But by chanting and reading Prabhupada's books, hearing and chanting, we will be able to realize the deity as a person. Chanting will strengthen our soul. Philosophy, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, will strengthen our intelligence. Therefore, chanting is the best service in so many different ways. And it keeps Krishna in good mood. If we are chanting, he's in good mood. And when he's in good mood, he's happy to forgive our offenses. If we have performed If a child knows that he has done something wrong, the child understands, I've done this wrong, and my mother is angry, or my teacher is angry. So the child, he goes in a very nice mood to the mother or the teacher and gives them a hug and behaves very nicely at that point, just in the hope that the mother or teacher, their mood will change. And if their mood changes, if their mood is affected by my happy mood, then they are more likely to forgive me and forget what I did. The same thing is with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So by chanting, Krishna is in good mood, and especially if we are attentive, and then he forgives our offenses. And if we forgive others, then Krishna also thinks of forgiving, considers forgiving us. If we want forgiveness, we have committed so many offenses. If we want forgiveness, we need to forgive others too. Then Krishna will forgive us. And that strength to forgive comes from chanting of the holy names. It is not easy to forgive from the heart. We can say, I forgive you, but to actually eradicate that grudge from the heart, requires strength for the soul, and that strength for the soul comes from chanting the holy names. So Narottam Das Thakur, he was convinced about the glories of the holy names, and therefore he was giving initiation, second initiation, Brahmana initiation, to anyone, irrespective of their caste. And in those days, the caste system, especially the corrupted caste system based on birth, was very much prevalent. And therefore, the Brahmanas of that time, they became very furious, outraged. How can Narottam Das Thakur make these Shudras as Brahmanas? Now they are equal to us in status? Not possible. They went and complained to the king, King Narsingha, that this Shudra, this Narottam Das, he has that audacity to initiate Brahmanas in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Why don't you take care of him? Look what's happening in your rule. Look what's happening in your kingdom. So the king, he said, all right, we'll go and challenge. The king went along with all the Smartha Brahmanas, along with the Digvijay Pandit, all of them went to challenge and conquer this upstart Narottam Das Thakur. And they came to the outskirts of the village where Narottam Das Thakur would stay. This news was heard by Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, the disciple of Narottam Das Thakur. He went over to Ramachandra Kaviraj and he said, Ramachandra Kaviraj was another friend and disciple of Narottam Das Thakur, and both of them felt very disturbed upon hearing of this imminent attack against their Gurudev. They said, we have to do something. So they went and they disguised themselves as Shudras. In fact, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti was Chakravarti. He was a Brahmana of the highest caste. But he understood that that what Narottam Das Thakur is doing is the right thing. There is nothing above the holy names. And holy names can elevate one from different castes all the way to transcendence, because it removes all the three modes of the nature. The Brahmanas are supposed to have a predominance in the mode of goodness. The Kshatriya are supposed to have a predominance of the mode of passion. The Vaishyas have a predominance of the mode of passion and ignorance. And Shudras are those who have predominantly more of ignorance. But it is said, Kalau Shudra Sambhava, that in Kali Yuga, everyone is predominantly Shudra, even though there may be glimpses of different modes. And by chanting the holy names, it eradicates all the effects of the modes of nature on the mind. Understanding this scientific understanding, even though Ganga Narayan Chakravarti was a Brahmana, he was happy that his Gurudev was initiating Shudras into Brahmanas. So he disguised himself as a potter, and Ramchandra Kaviraj disguised himself as a betel net vendor, as a panwala. Pan lelo, pan. Like that, they were going around, they disguised with a turban and with a mustache and all these different things that they had, and they opened shops in the neighboring village and in the outskirts of the village. And the Smartha Brahmanas, they arrived, they camped on the outskirts of the village, and they sent their students to go and go buy some pan for us, buy some clay pots for cooking. And that was why they strategically used the disguise of a potter and a betel net vendor. Because they knew these people are coming from outside, they'll need some cooking pots. And Brahmanas, they won't eat outside. They will eat only things which are cooked by other Brahmanas. So they knew they're going to take some clay pots. So their students came to buy clay pots. And when the students came to buy clay pots from the potter, Ramachandra Kaviraj, and then Pan from Panwala, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, they were expecting these people will say in Bangla or something, you know, generally we say Panwala when they say in Bhojpuri style, Ka ho, kaisan ho, all these kind of things. And they would speak the local language. Kemon achen, ekhane achen, ekhane eta eta niye jan, eta niye jan. But when they came and interacted with the Panwala, which was Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, spoke pure Sanskrit. Kim ascharyam. And hearing all this, all the students were surprised. What? You're speaking such pure Sanskrit? And he was conversing. And then some of them went to the potter. And the potter was speaking pure Sanskrit. And they were surprised. They went back and they told the Smartha Brahmanas, you know what? We found these potter and this panwala, and all of them are like speaking pure Sanskrit. They are like pure Brahmanas, and they say that they are initiated by Narottam Das Thakur. They are disciples of Narottam Das Thakur. And they challenged us in Sanskrit. And they told us, if you've come here to debate Narottam Das Thakur, we challenge you. First you defeat us, a potter and a panwala. Then if you defeat us, you can go to Narottam Das Thakur. And when the students told this to the Smartha Brahmanas, they were furious. Okay, all right, we'll go. What are these Shudra potters and betel net vendors are going to? They cannot stand in front of us. They think Narottam Das Thakur has pampered them and put them into an illusion that they are Brahmanas, but they are fake Brahmanas. So King Narsingadev, Smarthas, Rupa Narayan Chakravarti, Digvijay Pandit, all of them came. And the two Valas, the Panwalas and the potter, they started debating. on philosophy, on justice, on nyaya, all these different things in poetry. And during this debate, these two illustrious disciples were debating this, all the smarthas, and Rup Narayan, Digvijay Rup Narayan Chakravarti. Slowly the king understood, this is a futile attempt. These are Narottam Das Thakur's disciples. The king, during the debate, the heart of the king changed, and he told the smartha brahmanas, if you can't even defeat these two common, ordinary, shudra disciples of Narottam Das Thakur, how can you even dream of defeating Narottam Das himself? I cannot support you guys anymore. I think this is a miracle that Narottam Das Thakur has done. And I want such miracles in my kingdom. Stop criticizing Narottam Das Thakur. And the pandits, the smartha pandits, they were humiliated. And they headed home. That night, in the dream of Rupa Narayan Chakravarti and King Narsingadev, Durga Devi herself appeared. We are performing, this is the Navratri season, we worship Durga Devi, is worshipped during this season. There is Durga Puja, and all of these things. And Durga Devi, the same Durga Devi with 10 hands, with a weapon in each hand, screaming, came into the dream of King Narsingadev. And she screamed at him with eerie noises. And King Narsinga was so frightened at this shrieking, eerie noises. And when Durga Devi had his attention, she roared on her lion, take initiation from Narottam Das Thakur. You have offended him. He is the devotee of my Lord. Take initiation or else I'll cut off your heads. Ah! And so many different shrieking voices. King Narsinga woke up from his sleep. He was sweating, perspiring. He immediately ran in the middle of the night to the village, and he looked for Narottam Das Thakur. He surrendered to him. He called all the smartha brahmanas and Rupa Narayan Chakravarti and asked everyone to surrender to him, and received the Hare Krishna Mantra Diksha from Narottam Das Thakur. This is all. And Narottam Das Thakur was, what just happened? Why are you here, my dear king? Why are you surrendering to me? And the king said, well, if your disciples are so glorious, how glorious you must be. And I was told by Durga Devi, I was ordered and instructed to go and take initiation from you. And Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and Ramachandra Kaviraj, their hearts knew no bounds seeing their Gurudev glorified. Similarly, our Srila Prabhupada, his only attitude and consciousness was to fulfill the instructions of his Guru Maharaj and to glorify him. And all of us in ISKCON, our only focus is to glorify Srila Prabhupada by our actions, by our words, and by spreading the holy name, spreading the mission that Srila Prabhupada came for. When he is happy, we are happy. Yasya prasadad, Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya prasadan nagati kutopi. Even though our guru may not know that we are performing some service in the background for their pleasure, still the Paramatma sees our consciousness and rewards us accordingly, rewards Krishna Bhakti accordingly. Sometimes we feel, oh, if I perform my service and my Guru Maharaj doesn't know what I'm doing, I don't know if Srila Prabhupada knows what I'm doing, and it's all going in waste. A peacock dancing in the forest, who has seen? What is the point of a peacock dancing in the forest alone when there is no spectator? But bhakti is not a spectator sport. Bhakti is the game of the heart. And we offer our love within, in our service, not to show others, but to demonstrate to Krishna. And when Krishna, as Paramatma within our heart, sees our consciousness, whether our Guru Maharaj sees or not, he awards accordingly. In fact, if we perform our service not wanting any glories, without any, devoid of any expectation of any glory from that service, Guru and Krishna are much, much more pleased. One time one disciple asked, Prabhupada, does Guru know everything? So Prabhupada said, no. He said, then how can we worship the Guru? Prabhupada said, Guru is not Krishna. Guru is not the Paramatma in everyone's heart. Guru does not know everything about everything. But he knows, he's in touch with the Paramatma, and therefore he knows what Paramatma wants to reveal to him. Our service to our Gurudev, our service to Srila Prabhupada, is through the Paramatma within the heart. And when we please that Paramatma within the heart, if the Paramatma wants, he reveals that to the Guru without us telling it or giving a report. Although it's good that we should report to him whenever possible, but if we don't, or if you're not able to, we should be rest assured that all of this is being passed to our Srila Gurudev and that he is pleased with our service. This is what was the goal of Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. When King Narsingha surrendered to Narottam Das Thakur, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti didn't come in the forefront and try to take the limelight. Me, me, me. It's because of me that, you know, I convinced King Narsingha. Give me a pat on the back, my dear Gurudev. He didn't do that. Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, Ramachandra Kaviraj were very happy to be in the background and let all glory go to Narottam Das Thakur. This is the consciousness of Sri Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. Ganga Narayan Chakravarti lived in the district of Murshidabad, and he had only one daughter whose name was Vishnu Priya. And in this way, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti spread the glories of his Gurudev, the mission of his Gurudev, Narottam Das Thakur, all over Bengal. So we'll end here on the glories of Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. And if there are any questions, we can take now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Prabhuji, you know, I have a terminology confusion here. So, Prabhuji, you mentioned that nine limbs of bhakti earlier, Sravanam, Kirtanam, In another lecture I heard last week from some another Prabhu saying that Panjanga Bhakti, which is Vigraha Seva, Bhagavata Seva, Vaishnava Seva, all those things. So what's the difference? What's the difference between these two terminologies? Is it actually limbs of the bhakti, or is it something else, or is it the process of bhakti? It's a terminology confusion I have.
Right. Those Panchanga Bhakti, they are considered to be the five most essential power practices which lead to prema in Bhakti Yoga, which is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting, worshipping the deities, associating with devotees, and dhamvas, living in Vrindavan, or any other dham. These are the five power practices. But whenever we are doing this, for example, the first one is hearing. Hearing, especially hearing 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, we should hear Maharaj Parikshit attain perfection hearing all the 10 cantos. But the essence of that is in the 10th canto. Of course, we should understand all the 10 cantos, 9 cantos, before we get to the 10th canto. But the essence is in the 10th canto. So the 9 processes of bhakti are valid in all the ages. It's not just in Kali Yuga. In Satya Yuga, it was smaranam or meditating on the Supreme Lord. Kritau yad dhyayate Vishnu. Kretayam yajato makhai. Dwapare paricharyayam kalau tad hari kirtanat. Which means in Satyuga, kritauta dhyayate Vishnu, meditating on Vishnu, remembering Vishnu, smaranam, was the main process. Dwapare paricharyayam. Paricharyayam means to perform deity worship. In Dwapar Yuga, it was performing the deity worship. So, Archanam. Tretayam yajato makhai. In Treta Yuga, is performing sacrifices. Yajna. And Kalauta Dhari Kirtanad. In Kali Yuga, the main practice is chanting the holy names. So, these 9 processes are valid every time, but in Kali Yuga, of these 9 processes, these 5 are most power-packed. So the first one is hearing, which is Shravanam. Second is chanting, which is Kirtanam. Third is worshipping the deities, which is Archanam. And then the fourth and fifth are associating with devotees and practically living in Vrindavan. So associating with devotees, what do we do when we associate with devotees? Real association of devotees is when we are reminding each other of Krishna, helping each other in our practices of bhakti. So in association of devotees, we perform all the 9 processes of bhakti. Does that make sense? If we are in the association of devotees, we will perform Shravanam. You know, we'll hear some Bhagavatam classes, some devotee will say something. We will do Kirtanam. We will chant together in the association of devotees. We perform Sankirtan. If we are in the association of devotees, we will remind each other of Krishna, Smaranam. There is deity worship in the association of devotees. The deities in the temple, we have deities at home, which are our home deities, but deities at the temple are worshipped by the entire community of devotees. Together, in the association of devotees, we are performing deity worship, Archanam, Vandanam. We pray to the deities in the association of devotees. We learn how to pray. So this Panchanga Bhakti that they are saying, they are the power practices. They build the environment in which we can perform these Navadha Bhakti, these nine processes of bhakti. Does that make sense?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you very much. So they are the power pack. Okay. So
yeah.
All right. Thank you.
They build the environment in which you can perform these nine processes, especially.
Okay.
Yeah. Good question.
Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. I really like the point that we were Satmika Buddhi. You say that only when we have that attitude to serve our Guru Maharaj with life and soul, and then that Satmika Buddhi comes in. But thank you, Prabhuji, and all the story. It's so inspiring. Thank you so much for sharing.
I did not say that. That was said by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I just repeated what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said in his purport to Bhagavad Gita, this particular verse, and Srila Prabhupada was inspired by that.
Thank you, Mr. Prabhu, for sharing.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I was particularly appreciating the part of your lecture where you were focused on the fact that chanting is the most important of all the nine processes. So, still my question is, however, that why... I don't even know if this is an answerable question, but why did Krishna or Lord Chaitanya want the chanting more than any other when all nine processes have, I don't know if I should say, equal potential to give us perfection in the form of pure love of Godhead? You know, there are the exemplars for those who perfected their lives through each of the nine processes. So I'm just wondering why in this Kali Yuga Lord Chaitanya wants us to focus on the chanting more than the others, since you know they all deliver perfection, you know. So why the chanting more?
Well, that's what we discussed. That because one of the reasons is chanting can eradicate the offenses quicker than all other processes.
Even though the other processes, they too can counteract offenses, right?
Yes. But for example, if you have to counteract any offenses in other limbs of bhakti, you have to take shelter of chanting. And you can take shelter of other processes also, but it's a much longer route. It takes much longer for purification in that sense than chanting. Chanting is, very quickly it helps us progress. And considering that in Kali Yuga we don't have much time, the span of life is very short. For Smaranam in Satya Yuga, they would meditate for 60,000 years because the lifespan was 100,000 years of each individual in Satya Yuga. And then for 60,000 years of Smaranam, then you would get perfection. In Treta Yuga, it became 10,000 years as the lifespan. And you would perform yajna, and the yajna has to be perfect pronunciation of each of the shlokas and the mantras, and if even and by multiple brahmanas simultaneously, and even if one brahmana who's chanting does not chant perfectly or miss one of the mantras in their pronunciation, the whole yajna is gone. You have to do that all over again, and performing the yajna in an authentic way requires so much financial arrangement, which the societies today cannot even support or think of. So it takes long time, plus it takes a lot of resources for yajna. In Dwapar Yuga, it was deity worship. The kind of deity worship we do now is like, I don't know, it's like very minuscule compared to what deity worship standards were in Dwapar Yuga, because that was the process for attaining perfection.
Oh, okay, because I was thinking, you know, well, if we do, you know, if all the processes are equal, if we do, let's say, 10 minutes of chanting, why wouldn't that be equal to 10 minutes of deity worship, you know?
Yeah, it's not, because chanting pleases Krishna more than all the other different services, especially in Kali Yuga. But yeah, chanting is available in all the yugas, although there are these specific processes mentioned. But there are people who have perfected their life in Satya Yuga just by chanting. But it was not very much propagated. But in Kali Yuga, this is the only way for chanting, and it the progress is faster through chanting because it pleases Krishna much more than all the other limbs. And it says here, Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, chanting can eradicate offenses quickly than all other processes. So it helps us progress in a faster way with not much resources. All we need is our tongue and our ears, and maybe our fingers to touch the beads. So that's why it's considered the best, the only process in Kali Yuga, but best amongst all the other nine processes. And because it works faster. And therefore, even when we perform all the other eight processes that we perform is just as a catalyst for us to chant attentively. Prabhupada said that first he came, he said, chant 64 rounds. And all the devotees, they tried, and it was like, oh, this is too much. 8 hours of chanting cannot happen. So he then said, okay, 32 rounds. And then that was also not possible. So then he said, okay, 16 rounds, and that's it. No less than that. And the rest of the time, you engage in other devotional service. Because what we do throughout the day affects what we do the next day morning for chanting. It's not like we can do whatever we want during the day and then expect that our chanting will be perfect. So, all the other processes form an environment within our mind which can help us perform chanting. And chanting is the thing. Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Iva Kevalam. Only chanting of the holy names is the process for Kali Yuga. Not the other processes. Other processes are good, but they are only to, as a subservient, to assist us in chanting better. And there are devotees who have perfected their lives just by one or the other process, but they are in other yugas, at the same time, not as quickly as chanting.
And those other processes, the reason why Krishna is not as pleased with our focusing on those is because we cannot perform them to the standard that he would be as pleased. We don't have the facility to, let's say, I don't know, to...
Yeah, that's one of the reasons that we may not mm-hmm. have the facility, we may not be at the level of the, like, generally, Kali Yuga standard is not at that level, but that's one of the reasons. But that Krishna doesn't care about our ability. Krishna is caring about our intention, our sincerity, and our consciousness. So we may, and chanting is what helps us develop that consciousness, helps us quickly please Krishna. When we say Hare, Hare is Radharani. When we say Hare, Krishna. When we say Krishna, do you think Krishna is listening? When we say Krishna, actually Radharani is listening. Oh, who is this person taking my beloved's name? And when we say Hare, Krishna is listening. Wow, who is taking Radharani's name? And when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, they are very pleased. And it quickly elevates us. We know the Prabhupada gives the example of Khatvanga Maharaj. He was fighting for the demigods, and then he was told that you are about to die, and so he said, okay, what should I do? He said, just chant the holy names. He just chanted, boom. He died the next moment, and he went back home back to Godhead because he chanted offenselessly. Ajamil. He was given a second chance because he chanted offenselessly. Yes, so it's a very quick process.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
By its mm-hmm. nature. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Very nice explanation.
All right, if there are no other questions, you can end here. Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, Tanatanam, sir, very nice class, Prabhu. Just one question. In the Ramanuja Sampradaya and other Vaishnava Sampradayas, they emphasize more on Archana and, and all the Sashtakams and all that, right? I mean, why chanting is also important emphasizing factors in other terms, only in our sampradaya it's more driving thing. Is there any reason, Prabhu? Like, just wanted to know, because they become in temples and all when they follow this Vaishnava thing. Ramanuja Sampradaya, they do a lot of mantras and all that, right? So archana.
Right, so you answered it yourself. When the archanas are done, we do it with chanting. It's not done mutely. When you're performing some arti, archana, performing some puja, we don't do it mutely. It's done accompanied by chanting. Now, there may be different mantras that they may be chanting, but the aspect of chanting is there before, during, and after. And in all the sampradayas, they know the importance of chanting, and these archanas and everything, they have to accompany by chanting. Now, they may have different mantras, but the chanting process is there. And for Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya, we have the Hare Krishna mantra embedded everywhere. Even in demigod worship, there is the Hare Krishna mantra embedded. When we perform worship to Ganesh and many others, it ends with the Hare Krishna mantra. So, yeah, I would say all these processes are there, but they are accompanied by chanting.
But even the RP process is different from if we compare both this, right? I mean, we do a lot of steps of RP, they do only like more Kapoor RP more, right? So if, and it is coming from the same injections, Bhagavad Gita.
Can you repeat? Can you say that more clearly, Prabhu? I'm sorry, I couldn't understand. Can you repeat your question, Prabhu? Haribo? Hare Krishna? Can you all hear me?
Yes, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. I think he dropped off, Prabhuji.
Oh, okay. All right. Any other questions?
Prabhuji, thank you very much. Very, very nice class and also very, very nice answers to the questions. Thank you, Hare Krishna. I don't have a question. Very wonderful nectar, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. All right, if there are no more questions, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Vancha kalpataru bhishya, vipasin bhubi evacha, patitanam pavane bhyo, vaishnave bhyo, namo namaha.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.